the text for this morning's sermon, which is part of the series that Pastor Mark has worked out, is from the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." May God again guide and instruct us as we hear his word. And I understand that today we've come to the fourth in a series of services focusing on L-plate Christians. And that's why the L is over there. I thought when I first came in, well, they've got that there for me, but it's part of your series. Now, so far, as I understand it, you've focused on the truth that learning is lifelong and the importance of remaining teachable. This is true in your secular life as well as it's true in your spiritual life. You've noticed the importance of seeing others in their need as Jesus sees them, as well as the importance of learning from and encouraging one another as you grow together as members of God's church. Of course, that's what you do here each week as you come together for worship. Now, today's text is the well-known words from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus told his followers, "You are the light of the world." The world being particularly the world of unbelievers, those who don't know the light of God's forgiving love and forgiveness, but are still living in the darkness of unrepented and unforgiving sin and in unbelief. Those who don't recognize Jesus as their Savior and Lord, they are living far away from God. And you know, darkness and ignorance are terms that are very, very often coupled together. The famous English playwright William Shakespeare wrote, "I say there is no darkness but ignorance." And so, in Scripture, those who are living in spiritual ignorance and unbelief, those who are living in unrepented sin, those who are living quite apart from God, they are described as living in darkness, subject to the powers of darkness, performing the works of darkness. That's a state that eventually leads to that dread outer darkness, the outer darkness of eternal separation from God, where, as Jesus once said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this increasingly seems to be the situation with so many of the people who live around us. And there are probably just as many who, although they mightn't be living in the pitch blackness of out-and-out atheism, complete rejection of God and Christ and the church, they're not living in that situation, but they're probably not very far from it. They may be living only in the gloomy twilight of some loose or nominal connection with the church. Maybe some even with that sort of a loose connection with your own congregation. A little more than names on a list, with no real and living faith in Jesus Christ. They're in danger of losing the faint glimmer of light they may have and ending up in the torment of that outer darkness. Now, this church building you regularly assemble in for worship, this is a witness to Christ in your community. It's a visible reminder to the unbelievers, the indifferent, the backsliders, the twilight Christians. It's a reminder to them that there is a God who's made himself known through his Son. The cross on the top of the tower and the large one there in the pebble garden are pointers to this saving Son. But God calls each one of us to more than just such a passive witness. He wants each one of us to bear witness to him among the people who live in our streets, where we work or play. And he wants us there to shine with our lives and also with our lips. And that's what he meant when he said, You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before people so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And as St. Peter wrote in his first letter, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Why? Why? That you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And you know, God is also speaking to you through these words. You too are no longer shrouded in the darkness of sin and unbelief. By God's grace, you are now children of the light. The glorious light of God's revelation of himself and his great plan for saving sinful human beings, for saving you. This light has lit up your life. By the working of God's Spirit, you've been brought to faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel, which over and over again reassures you and people like you that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that is what's lit up your life. It's made you who and what you are. It's given you a whole new identity, so you don't have to go around hiding in dark the corners of the world, afraid to show yourself the way Adam and Eve were afraid to show themselves after they'd sinned, because you are now a new person of the light. You're like a candle. A candle doesn't start to glow all by itself. It can't even will itself to start. It's cold and lifeless and dark until someone lights it. And that's you. That's you. It's the light of God's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ that's illuminated the natural darkness that you were born into. You didn't switch yourself on. God's gracious Spirit came to you when you were just a cold, unlit candle. The Spirit came to you with all the illuminating and warming power of God's love to set you aglow as you were baptized into Christ. The same Spirit has continued to keep you glowing with the fuel of his gospel, word and sacrament ever since then. But once a light, you don't go off and hide yourself. Who ever heard of a person going to the trouble of lighting a candle and then going and putting a bucket or a basket over the top of it? I mean, how silly can you get? And yet, perhaps this may be what we've at times tended to do as individuals and perhaps even as a congregation. Go and crawl under a bucket so no one can see us or our light. But God's called each one of us out of our natural darkness into his light, his life for a person. He wants us to enjoy eternal life in his presence. But he also wants us to be a light reflecting his love to the world of those people around us. You are the light of the world, he says to us in today's text. Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, as a church, LCANZ, we do this in many ways. In Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, among the Aboriginal people in Central Australia or on South Australia's west coast. But in the final analysis, witness gets back to people. Individuals just like you and me. All the media back up, that's fine, it has its place, and the latest Lutheran's got a lot about that in it. But there's no such thing as an electronic church. The very name is a contradiction in terms. Essentially, God's church is people. It's people, sinners, all of them, who've been drawn out of the darkness of sin into the light and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It's you. It's you glowing with the love of Jesus for all around you to see. It's God's people giving glory to God the Father in a life of loving, Christ-like service, meeting the needs of people around them as they're able, and doing it with the love of Christ and in the name of Christ. Church structures have their place, of course they do. But you don't need committees and budgets and programs for this sort of thing. You simply need people who themselves have been set on fire with the love of Christ. And, as we sing in one of our popular religious songs, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Now, this world's a pretty big place, as is even the suburb around you of McGill. How can you, little you, be the light of the world? Well, back in 1961, when I was living in Perth, one of the first US manned spacecraft flew over the city, and we were all encouraged to switch our lights on as the craft passed overhead. And as I stood out in our backyard watching it fly over, we heard the voice of John Glenn on our radio thanking Perth for switching on our lights so he could see clearly the glow of all our lights and see where the city was. Now, if only one or two people in that city of Perth had put on their lights, they wouldn't have been seen by John Glenn. You see, sometimes we can let our light shine most effectively by adding our light to that of others. And that's what the church's wider mission program is really all about. But just think again of Jesus' words. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone who's in the house. When my grandparents arrived from the United States to establish the Kanibba Aboriginal Mission over near Ceduna on South Australia's west coast, the manse was a large corrugated iron hut with a dirt floor and a hessian bag down the middle dividing it into two rooms. And so one candle would have lit up the whole house. Subsequently, they lived in a house made of local stone, and I think you can see a picture of it there on the screen. Now, most of the houses, when Jesus spoke these words, also had only one room. And so a lamp on a stand would light up the whole house. Your light of Christian witness can light up your whole household. But it can also illuminate the lives of those around you whom you come into contact with, close enough to see your example, to experience your love when they're in need. Say when an accident strikes, or there's a family breakup, or sickness, or loss of work, or whatever. To hear you simply describe what Jesus means to you, and then invite you to join them. Such good works are a way of showing your faith to others, at the same time glorifying God. And it's through your consistent life of witness in both word and action that God will work to reveal his love to others and to draw them into his kingdom. And that's why he simply says to each one of you, you are the light of the world. It's not a commandment, it's simply a statement of fact. You are the light of the world. And so simply shine in your community as the forgiven, loving person you are, and let him work through you to shine into and warm the hearts and lives of those who may then come to know him through you. God grant you the grace to do this. Amen. Peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.